This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Tara McLarnon in the Division of Career and Adult Education. I want to go ahead and get started since it is, according to my watch, 20201. If you are joining us, I hope you're in the right place. This is the 2016-17 Adult General Education Data Collection and Reporting Changes webinar for colleges. That would be Florida College System colleges. Today we're going to go through a series of slides. Hopefully you received these ahead of time. If not, we will have all of the materials from both this webinar as well as the audio portion available after the meeting. We'll be posting that on our website and we'll send out information to all registered participants as well as our directors and reports coordinators at the location for that information. Just a couple housekeeping notes so you are all aware of it. This conference call has been placed in conference mode, which has muted everybody's lines so we don't pick up any extra background or accidental on-hold music. We are going to remain in conference mode for the entirety of the webinar. We will not be opening up for audio questions. Instead, we ask that everybody please use the questions selection bar on the webinar to type in any questions that they may have. They may type them in as they go so that we are aware of what we need to address, or they can type them in afterwards. So please use that function to ask any questions, or if you need clarification or you have input on any of the information on any of the slides. I should also note that all of the information we're presenting today is based off of, in large part, information that will be included in the data element dictionaries. Those formats are still being finalized. Once those finalized formats are available, we will be sure to make sure everybody's aware that those are out there and available. I anticipate that we will also have final formats to share at the MISSAT 4 WEDAC meetings occurring next month. With that being said, I want to go ahead and get started with just a little bit of an overview. So the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, WIOA, if you're not already familiar with this, I don't know that this is going to give you the level of detail that you were looking for, but just some information pertinent to Section 116, which establishes performance accountability measures for all core partners. In the state of Florida, the core partners are the Department of Economic Opportunity, the Division of Blind Services at the Department of Education, the Division of Voc Rehab at the Department of Education, and of course, Adult Education. All the information that we are sharing today is in relation to adult education. We are not sharing any performance information for any of the other core partners. As part of the reporting requirements, there are two major components. The first is a new performance report that we will be required to complete and submit. This is an annual performance report that each core partner will be completing for their own agency, and it will include performance accountability targets. In addition, we will continue to report for NRS, as many of you know it as, the National Reporting System. We do not anticipate any current data collection changes, but there may be some additional changes when the final guidance for this law is released. We will continue to include performance accountability targets based on measurable skills gains. Most of you who are familiar with NRS will know this as Table 4. A little more information on the annual performance report. As I stated earlier, this has to be completed by all core partners and submitted to the appropriate federal agency. For our office, that would be the Office of Career, Technical, and Adult Education, otherwise known as OCTE. In this report, there are six performance indicators. The six performance indicators are employment rate entered, employment rate retention, median earnings, credential rate, measurable skills gained, and employee effectiveness. For the Department of Education, we will need to adopt proposed state targets for the performance indicators as part of our state plan. I should note for 16-17 of those six performance indicators, the state will be adopting a target for measurable skills gain only. However, we will be collecting and reporting information so that we can submit performance data for the remaining performance indicators to establish baseline performance. However, we will not be held accountable to a target for 16-17 performance. I should also note that of the six, there is one called employee effectiveness. This has not yet been defined, and therefore we are not currently aware of what data needs to be collected and reported for this. In addition, on a quarterly basis to the CareerSource Board, the Department of Education is expected to report on progress towards meeting targets. CareerSource is developing a dashboard which will be showing for each core partners their progress towards meeting targets on the six performance indicators. Just some information on implementation, particularly because a large number of the data elements we'll be going over are brand new data elements that are characteristics of the students who are participating in adult education. Our implementation timeline is that all agencies must begin reporting this new information for participants who enroll on July 1st, 2016 or later. So an example of that, because we've been asked to clarify what that means, is if you have a course that starts and runs from June 1st to August 15th, and the student starts receiving instruction on June 1st, that falls prior to July 1st, so you are not required to start collecting the data and reporting for that particular student. You are welcome to, but you are not required to. However, if another student enters that same course on July 1st, for that student, because they entered on July 1st, you would need to collect the information and report it. And of course, any courses that start after July 1st, for all students enrolled in those courses, even if they were previously enrolled in another course, you would need to collect the information. We have updated the sample intake form. The draft copy of it was included in the webinar materials towards the back of it. I would definitely encourage you to take a look at the sample intake form. Once we finalize all the materials, we will be posting the final version at the following website. It's the Career and Adult Education Resources page. This, in addition to the sample intake form, we have created a new supplementary guidance document, which will have additional notation and definitions to assist you with implementation of these new data elements. So the form, the majority of the updates on the form are the new participant characteristics identified as subpopulations specifically in WIOA. Most of these items were included in the background section, which is on the second page at the top. These items are self-reported. Agencies must provide an opportunity for participants to indicate which characteristics apply, and a lack of selection by participants of a characteristic indicates that that characteristic does not apply. For many of the data elements we'll be going through, they will only need to be collected for students who are enrolled in NRS-eligible programs. We did want to provide just a brief, quick look at the relationship between our adult ed programs and those that are NRS eligible. This slide includes all the reportable adult education programs in 15-16. Those that were highlighted in yellow are considered to be the NRS eligible ones. If you have a student who is enrolled in citizenship and only citizenship, you would not be required to collect any of the ones that are indicated as NRS eligible only data elements. However, if you have a student who's in citizenship and ESOL, you would be required to collect all of those data elements, especially those pertaining to those enrolled in NRS eligible programs. Before I go into going through the specific performance indicators, just a reminder that if there are questions that are popping up as we cover this material, to please make sure that you're typing those into the questions bar so that we can address those as we come to different points in time in the presentation. Okay. So just a little more information on the annual performance indicators. Employment rate was the first of those indicators that I had highlighted earlier. This is defined as the number of exiters during the reporting period who are employed during the second quarter after exit, divided by the number of exiters during the reporting period. I do want to note and reiterate that beginning with 16-17, we will be collecting and reporting information to establish baseline performance. However, we will not be required to adopt a state target and will not be held accountable for a state target until the 18-19 reporting year. Employment rate retention is very similar. It's looking at the number of exiters during the reporting period who are employed during the fourth quarter after exit, divided by the number of exiters during the reporting period. Similar to employment rate entered, we will be collecting and reporting beginning with 16-17. However, will not be required to adopt a state target until 2018-19. Median earnings is looking at exiters in a core program and the wages at the midpoint between the highest and lowest wages earned in the second quarter after exit. Similar to employment rate, we will collect and report data, but we will not have a state target for this performance indicator until 2018-19. I should note that for this one, as well as the two previous ones, the information on employment and wage data will be pulled by matching students with our FETPIP office, which looks at the various employment data. It's not something you will be required to collect and report characteristics such as median earning. Credential rate is one of the new performance indicators. It probably looks very similar to something you've seen on NRS before. But this is the total number of participants who exited and were a secondary education and were in a secondary education program defined at or above the ninth grade level who attained a high school diploma or equivalent. This is also one that we are required to report on to establish baseline, but we will not be required to adopt a state target until the 18-19 reporting year. The last performance measure I want to go over is the measurable skills gain. This is one that we are going to be required to adopt a state target for and will be held accountable for with 16-17 data. This is the number of program participants who during the program year are achieving measurable skills gain based on attainment of one of the following types of gains. For us, that would be literacy completion points in adult basic education, ESOL or El CATE, and adult high school looking at the ASE low students. To start with, for the data element changes, we wanted to go through existing data elements that are already being collected and reported into the Florida College System data system. There is only one data element for which there is a change, ADE employment status. We did include a change document as part of the webinar materials if you wanted to see the new language that's highlighted. I believe it's in green text on the change document. For those of you who are not familiar with this one, ADE employment status, this is defined as the employment status of a participant at the time of entry in the current term or semester. It is collected on intake by the student. If you are familiar with them, these values should seem very similar. I do want to point out that value E existed in previous years. However, there were substantial changes to the language of the definition for this value. Value S is a new reportable value, and there were no significant changes to U or N or Z. So if you wanted to know what changes were made, I would suggest that you look at the change document at the end of the webinar materials or contact one of us to go through those changes. Some reporting notes on employment status. This is required for adult general education NRS eligible programs. This should be collected at the beginning of each term semester. If a participant is enrolled in two or more terms in a reporting period, status reported should be for the first term semester. The format this is reported on is the machine record format record type 1. All right, so now we're going to go through a significant portion of this webinar, which is the new data elements required for implementation under WIOA. And these are all the new data elements for the colleges. As you can see, there are multiple ones that start with AGE versus CAE. We'll be going through each of these to sort of talk about them. I want to start with CAE level of schooling achieved. This is defined as the highest school grade completed by the student at the time of entry, post-secondary, or AGE in the current term or semester. I should note this is a replacement for an existing data element. Adult level of schooling achieved data element 1047 has been replaced. And the reason it was replaced is because there was a significant change in the reportable values, as well as it went from a single-digit data element value to a two-digit data element value. So just take note that adult level of schooling achieved will be retired after 15-16 and will be replaced with this data element. We did not provide all of the reportable values for this particular data element just because there were a significant number and we felt that this was enough of a representation to get an idea of what is reported. If you want to see the full list of values, we did include this data element in the webinar materials so you could see all the reportable values. This should be required for all adult general education students for 2016-17. It will then be required for CTE students by 17-18. Of course, you are welcome to report it in 16-17 for CTE students, but you will not be required to report it until 17-18. It should also be noted that if you have a participant who is educated outside the United States, where they use maybe a different nomenclature for grade levels, you just need to determine an approximate equivalent for what that would represent. Formats required is the machine record format, record type 1. Adult general education AGES offender. This is defined as a person who at the time of entry in the current term or semester has self-identified as a person who either A, has been subject to any stage of the criminal justice process for committing a status offense or delinquent act, or B, requires assistance in overcoming artificial barriers to employment resulting from a record of arrest or conviction for committing delinquent acts such as crimes against persons, crimes against property, status offenses, or other crimes. As you can see here, any student who has self-identified with one of those codes should be reported in A based on the intake form. Any student who has not self-selected, who's in an NRS-eligible program, should be reported with value N, and then value Z should only be reported for those students who are not enrolled in NRS-eligible programs. Some information on reporting this. This is only required for NRS-eligible programs in their adult education. The status should be collected at the beginning of each term or semester, and if you report two or more terms in a reporting period, you should report based on the first status. The machine record format, record type 1, is where you will report this. I will also note that when we release the final guidance and documents to go with the intake form, we will be including some additional information on other ways in which this could be identified in addition to the intake process. AGE completion date. The definition of this is the date the degree, certificate, or literacy completion point was awarded to the student. We did provide the format for reporting that specific date. I think previously this diplomas were recorded with just a month and a year. This expands that to include a specific date. Some notes on reporting AGE completion date, particularly if you are entering a diploma type based on a GED test. Just a reminder, you would have to have sufficient documentation to do so. Your agency has access to diploma data from a variety of sources. With access to GED Manager for Adult Educators, the GEDTS access to student records for students who authorize a release to the agency, the system will provide a date. In addition, another source is with a assigned release from the student, many agencies have access to the Florida Records site, which provides the date. And then another option is if the student provides a State of Florida high school diploma or official GED transcript as proof of diploma status, both of these documents provide a date. If you have any questions about those sources or how to access those, I would direct you to contact our GED office. If you don't have that contact information, you can go to our website to get it, or you can contact either myself or one of my staff members, and we'll be happy to share with you that information. But they have much more information on the process for these different, gaining access to these different kinds of options. Additional notes on reporting AGE completion date. This is only required for students who are in NRS eligible programs for adult general education. And the format required is the machine record format, record type 5. All right, AGE employment barrier is another data element in which the participant perceives him or herself as possessing attitudes, beliefs, customs, or practices that influence a way of thinking, acting, or working that may serve as a hindrance to employment. If a student has self-identified that they have employment barriers, they would be reported with value of C. Any student in an NRS eligible program who has not self-reported that would be reported with an N. These should only be reported for students who are in non-NRS eligible programs. This is required for NRS eligible programs only. Similar to other data elements, status should be collected at the beginning of each term semester. However, if you report two or more terms in the same reporting period, you should report the first status. This is reported on the machine record format, record type 1. All right, AGE homeless runaway. This is defined as at the time of entry in the current term semester, participant lacks a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence. I will also note that in addition to any students who are identified with this particular data element, we will also be identifying students through the C status data element. There are a couple of C status types that are specific to the homeless population. I'm not going to go through each of these values. I do want to point out on the second slide of values, value D, participant is under the age of 18 years of age and absent him or herself from home or place of legal residence without the permission of his or her family. This is a category for runaway youth. We would like to note that we are leaving it up to local agency discretion of how to identify using locally available programs participation of runaway youth. We do not believe that this should be collected during intake because it is a very sensitive population. So it really should be a locally defined process or procedure for identifying students who would be identified as runaway youth. This is only required to be collected and reported for students who are in NRS eligible programs. Again, status should be collected at the beginning of each term or semester. And this is also reported on the machine record format, record type 1. Adult general education migrant seasonal farm worker is a participant identified as a migrant or seasonal farm worker at the time of entry in the current term or semester. There are two reportable values to differentiate between the different types of work of the participants, and those are both reflected on the intake form. If you have a student who does not self-report any of those but is in an NRS eligible program, they would be reported with an N. Z should only be reported for students not in NRS eligible programs. This is also only required for NRS eligible programs. And it should be collected at the beginning of each term or semester. It is reported on the machine record format, record type 1. I do also want to note that we are planning on reaching out to our migrant office about matching through their system as well to identify any additional participants which may meet the definition of migrant seasonal farm worker. CAE displays homemaker. As you will note, the title of this does not have AGE, it does have CAE. This is a participant, was whether or not a participant was a displaced homemaker at the time of entry, post-secondary or AGE in the current term or semester. There are multiple values for this particular data element. The reason for that is because we have a different definition, a federal definition for displaced homemaker for CTE and adult education. So this the values here reflect the two different data definitions. I'll go ahead and go to the next slide. Next one. We wanted to provide some clarification on what that entails. So for CTE programs, which we are not requiring to be reported in 16-17, but it must be collected and reported for CTE students in 17-18, a displaced homemaker, according to their definition, would be any students reported with a value of A, B, or C. For adult education, which has to be collected and reported for 16-17, it would be any students reported with a value of B or D. The status should be collected at the beginning of each term semester, and it is also reported on the machine record format record type 1. Very similar, CAE single parent is a participant who is a single parent and or single pregnant woman at the time of entry in the current term or semester. There are multiple values for these. Let's go to the next one. And similar to displaced homemaker, adult general education is required to collect for 2016-17. CTE, you are not required to collect and report until 2017-18. There is no difference in the values that are used for either program. All of the values apply to both AGE and CTE. Status should be collected at the beginning of each term or semester, and it is reported on the machine record format, record type 1. Just a reminder, if you have any questions, you are welcome to type those into the box. We've gone over a lot of new data elements, so if there's anything that we have covered that you need clarified or need more information on, please use the questions box to type that in. All right, I'm going to go through AGE withdrawal reason. This is the reason for a participant's withdrawal from adult general education. Just to clarify, this is their withdrawal from adult education entirely, not withdrawal from a specific course as long as they are still enrolled. Go ahead. There are a variety of specific withdrawal reasons. Go ahead to the next slide, please. If you withdraw, if a student withdraws from adult education for a reason other than those listed above, those students would be reported with a value of G. Go to the next slide, please. Some notes specific to this data element. A withdrawal reason should only be reported for participants who have exited AGE in your agency. If a participant has exited a particular course or program but continues to receive instruction in another AGE program or course that's NRS eligible, participants should be reported with a value of N. Information reported with this data element will be used to determine eligibility for inclusion in NRS calculations. Agencies that know a participant has exited but do not know the specific reason should use value G. This is only required to be reported for students who are enrolled in NRS eligible programs, and it's required on the machine record format record type 4 program. The next two data elements, adult course entry date and adult AGE course exit date, I'll go through course entry date first. This is the date the participant began enrollment in the AGE course. I think we can go on to the next one. I think the date format's pretty self-explanatory. This is only required for adult general education, NRS eligible programs and courses. just a note, this should reflect the actual date the student entered into the course and started receiving instruction. If your course starts on August 10th, but the student does not actually start receiving instruction until August 18th, their course entry date should be August 18th, not the day the course was started in general. It's reported on the machine record format, record type 6. Course exit date is the date the participant exited from the AGE course. Go ahead. It's also only required for NRS eligible programs, and just like course entry date, this should reflect the date a student exited from the course if different from the date the course ended. So the moment that the day they stopped receiving instruction in that course is what is reflected here. Formats required is the machine record format, record type 6. All right, I'm going to pause before I go on to the next section. That is all of the slides pertaining to changes to data elements and new data elements. Please take this opportunity. We only have a few more slides left to go through. If you have any questions, this is your opportunity to type those into the questions box. So I'm going to give everybody just a quick minute in case you have any questions you want us to address before we move forward. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and keep going through the slides. However, please take this opportunity to ask any questions. As I stated, we are not going to be opening up the line to questions over the phone. We ask that all questions be typed in through the webinar module. Go ahead. We wanted to let you know about some upcoming data reporting workshops. If you're relatively new to adult education and what I just told you is kind of going over your head a bit, this would be great, or if you've been in it for a while and would like some refresher, particularly given all the new information, these are definitely great resources for you. We'll be holding a series of workshops in April and May. They're two-day workshops. Day one will be an adult general education data reporting workshop, and day two will be for CTE programs. The intent of the workshops is to cover best practices in data collection, reporting, and local level review of your data. We do have information on our website, and I've provided the link to that. That includes a link to an online registration system. Registration is required for all of these. We do have space limitations in each of the workshops, and we want to make sure that we are fully prepared for any agency that is planning to attend. Go ahead to the next slide. If you want a little more information, you can certainly go to the website and get it. This is just a brief overview of what we plan to cover during the full-day workshop. And yes, it is a full-day workshop. But trust me, everybody seems to have appreciated last year's workshops, and we're sticking in there to the end. These are the specific dates for the training workshops. The first workshop will be held on April 25th here in Leon County. The second workshop will be May 5th in Marion County. And the third workshop will be May 23rd in Broward County. We don't have any plans for any additional adult education workshops at this time. We're still trying to sort of see what is happening in the fall in terms of various conferences. In addition, if you're not already aware of this group, there is a group of a work group of district and college MIS staff who get together 2 to 3 times a year, the Florida College System Management Information System Advisory Task Force, MISAT4. We'll be having one of their annual meetings next month, April 13th to the 14th, here in Tallahassee. This is a wonderful opportunity to get very specific information about technical changes occurring that impact MIS, as well as common reporting issues and changes pertinent to legislative changes. Registration is required for each of these meetings, and you should note that the registration for the next meeting closes on March 11th. If you would like more information, I've provided a link to the website. Go ahead. If you have any questions, this is a great time to type those in. We're going to get to any questions that have been sent in just a minute. I did want to go ahead and put this up here, which is the contact information. There's my contact information as well as Colin and Paul. You're welcome to contact us if you need clarification on any of these items. As I said, once we finalize this PowerPoint, we will be posting it on our website. We will let all registered webinar attendees as well as send it out to our regular directors list to let them know the information is out there. Please just give us a couple of days to get that material ready and processed and pushed onto our website. If you have any questions about the specific data reporting, particularly format types or technical issues related to the data elements, your contact is going to be Chris Bice. He's in our Community College Technical Center MIS, otherwise known as CCTCMIS office. And so he is your contact for that, and I have also provided his phone number and email address as well. All right, let's see. I want to get to what questions we might have. So we received a question about follow-up requirements for adult education students at the year after they complete in terms of data submission personnel or DOE. I would probably need more information about what specific follow-up you were regarding. If we're talking about employment or wage data, that follow-up information is not collected by the local agency. It's matched using the various data sources our FETPIP office has access to. In terms of students who receive diplomas, there is a time frame in which we will be looking for those. And as we work to finalize out our business rules for the various calculations, we will be sure to share them with the field of what information and what time periods those will encompass. Are there any other questions? Please type those in right now if you have an opportunity. I do want to thank everybody for taking time out of their day to participate in this. I know this was very short notice and some of you might be on spring break. However, we did feel it was important to get this information out there as soon as possible. Myself and my staff are always available if you have any follow-up questions. If 5 minutes after we conclude this webinar you think of the perfect question you didn't get a chance to ask, just simply send us an email and we'll be happy to address it. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and end this call and hope everybody has a great day. Thank you for participating.